And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a book, a 19th century book on the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And this is a work I have newly obtained. I have to admit, I am surprised that I have not yet read this work. It's from back in 1897. And the book, the title, is Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Now, very, very interesting. The author was Thomas M. Harris. Harris, as the book explains, I'm just going to read this right off the title page. This is published by Great Mountain Publishing, Garrisonville, Virginia. And this is obviously a modern edition, published here recently. And here's what it says: Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Thomas M. Harris, late Brigadier General USV, and Major General by brevet, member of the U.S. Military Commission that investigated and presided over the trial of the conspirators who were convicted of assassinating President Abraham Lincoln. Okay, so here is another 19th century witness who lived during the time of Lincoln's assassination. He lived through this era, and he was not just some guy either. I mean, here he is, a general in the Union Army, and he was on the U.S. Military Commission that did the investigation and prosecuted the conspirators, those who killed Abraham Lincoln. I mean, this is incredible. Now, of course, the other witness is Charles Chiniquy. He's the one that we typically talk about. And Chiniquy is referenced by virtually everyone who writes about the assassination of Lincoln. There's a number of different books out there on this. We've carried in the past the book by Paul Serup, on the title of which is Who Killed Abraham Lincoln? We have carried that book in the past. Serup is a Canadian author. I did a radio program with him, interviewed him a couple of years back talking about that book, but he spent some 20 years investigating the information that had been published by Charles Chiniquy. Chiniquy, of course, was author of the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and we carry that book as well. And it's in that book that Chiniquy writes about his experience as a Roman Catholic priest, relates the fact that he was a friend of Abraham Lincoln for years prior to his assassination, that he spoke with Lincoln on multiple occasions in his lifetime. I mean, just think about this, folks. This is a living witness from that era who knew Abraham Lincoln. He was a Catholic priest, meaning he knew a lot of things about the Church of Rome very directly, and the hierarchy of Rome. He knew a lot of things from his own personal experience about the Jesuits and their teachings. And here he writes a book back in the 19th century communicating his firm conviction that the Vatican and the Jesuit order were directly responsible for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Okay, then of course you've got the book we carry, we republish the book, Washington in the Lap of Rome by Justin Dewey Fulton. And I wrote a 70-page foreword to that work, and we still carry that. You can also find it on Amazon and so on, our edition of it. But Fulton also cites Charles Chiniquy and about the danger that is there in Washington where Rome is concerned. Now bear in mind, folks, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because you look at the U.S. Supreme Court right now, which is the chief branch of the United States government right now. The deep state is largely controlled by Catholics and the CIA. In fact, we did a program talking about how the CIA is jokingly called the Catholic Intelligence Agency or Catholics in Action. And that's where the deep state is being manipulated and has been for many years since World War II, when Wild Bill Donovan, who was a Knight of Malta and an agent for Rome, was in charge of the OSS. The reason we say he was an agent for Rome is because he appeared late in life at the Vatican and was given the Vatican's highest honor for a lifetime of service to the papacy. And you can read about that in the book American Democracy in the Vatican by Dr. Stephen Mumford. If you want to read more on that whole aspect of this. But what's incredible, Mary Surratt, who was the woman who was condemned alongside other conspirators, and she was hanged as having participated in the plot to kill Lincoln. If you study modern commentators and so on, in modern times, they attempt to argue that Mary Surratt was supposedly innocent, that she didn't do anything wrong, and that supposedly our country executed an innocent woman. Well, if you read the book by Chiniquy, he makes it very clear that she was very much a part of this plot to kill Lincoln, very much a part of the plot. He did not think she was innocent. There was also the film that came out a few years ago called The Conspirator. The Conspirator, which you can find today, but it was the story of Mary Surratt and claimed that she was innocent. You know, they gave the impression that they give was that she was condemned because of anti-Catholic bigotry. But that was it. It was only because there was a lot of anti-Catholicism that was going on during that time. And if you study Rome, back in the 19th century, brethren, I remember years ago reading Charles Spurgeon in his writings on Rome, and he talked about how when you oppose Rome, he says, you've got to remember, we will be howled as bigots, he said. Be howled as bigots. They're going to cry, you bigots, you anti-Catholic bigots. That's basically what Spurgeon says. He says, we will be howled as bigots, but we must remember that our enemies are those who brought us the Great Inquisition. So this whole business of crying bigotry and claiming that you're just a bigot because you won't go along with something, you can find the links to this all the way to Rome. If you want to understand political correctness, get the book on the Jesuits by J.A. Wiley from 1881. And he talks about how the press of the UK is being controlled by the Jesuit order. You've got Jesuits running the newspapers. And he talks about how that whether they're directly running the newspapers or they're not running them, they're influencing them somehow. He says there will be every time there's somebody, a Jesuit, whispering in the ear of some editor, and what does he say? He says, well, didn't you think that the comments of so-and-so were not very gracious? Right? And I'll never forget reading that, and I thought, wait a second. back in 1881? They were making those kind of comments, not very gracious. In other words, rather than focusing on what was said, focus on how they said it. Focus on something that can create a distraction. Well, that was very mean, and that was bigoted. And then now today, of course, the whole situation has progressed to, well, that was racist, and that was misogynist, and that was, you know, it's racism, bigotry, misogyny, it's Islamophobia, it's homophobia, it's whatever. It's not what the issue is. It's how can we create a distraction, not about what you said, but how you said it, and that it hurts somebody's feelings. And thankfully, we've got more and more people waking up because of independent media. Whether they trace it to the Jesuits or not is, well, I'm not sure it matters that much. But what's important is they recognize the psychological brainwashing and that political correctness is just psychological warfare. All right, we've got a few minutes here before the break. I wanted to read part of the dedication from Thomas Harris, T.M. Harris, the dedication in the front part of the book. And this is apparently the original dedication. So it says, quote, "To the memory of our martyred president, Abraham Lincoln, to all who love the flag of our country, to all lovers of liberty and haters of despotism, to all who are loyal to the Constitution and government of the United States of America, and who value the rights and the protection which these secure to us, liberty of conscience, freedom of thought and investigation, freedom of speech and the press, within the limitations of the law, the complete separation of church and state, as distinct and separate organizations, each being independent of the other in its own proper sphere of action, yet not so as to separate religion from the state. Civil government being an ordinance of God and to be administered under his authority, in accordance with the great moral requirements of the Decalogue," meaning the Ten Commandments, obviously. Now, this is, you know, to me, these are the kind of things that we're going to be talking about in our film on the true Christian history of America, what the original understanding of a separation of church and state was prior to the end of World War II. Notice that General Harris here did not believe that the separation meant that you don't have God or religion involved in government. Not at all. But that the government is the minister of God. That's what he's saying here. That civil government being an ordinance of God and to be administered under his authority. And then he makes reference to the moral requirements of the Ten Commandments. I mean, that is the original understanding. The state upholds the moral code, and the church preaches the gospel and teaches theology, etc. That was the general understanding of the separation. But of course, they've changed it now here in modern times to mean that you cannot employ the Bible or Christianity or anything having to do with God, supposedly, in matters of government here in our country. And that's not at all what our forefathers originally believed. All right, brethren, we are going to go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more, and we are going to read some of the parts of this book on Rome's responsibility for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the role of Rome and the Jesuits in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. You know, very interesting to remind ourselves about this information, because look at what's going on. We've just had another Jesuit-trained lawyer, judge, who's now been appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, conservatives and many evangelicals are celebrating the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, and we certainly hope that he will turn out to be a loyal servant of our constitutional republic. Just because he was trained by Jesuits doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be some kind of subversive. I did find it interesting, however, that the Catholic website Church Militant posted an article on Kavanaugh written by Alan Keyes, where they said Kavanaugh's confirmation, a Pyrrhic victory, and that Justice Kavanaugh might be another Anthony Kennedy. And that just because he's a conservative, because his role model was Kennedy. His role model, based on things that he said. And so they even have a comment here: moral conservatives need to face the fact that we cannot assume Justice Kavanaugh's confirmation fulfills President Donald Trump's stated intention to appoint Supreme Court justices in the mold of Scalia. Now, Scalia was, by everything that I ever heard about Scalia, in fact, when I interviewed the two Christian lawyers who came down and we interviewed them for our upcoming film, I asked them about Scalia, and they said they believe Scalia was, you know, a true conservative, a true constitutional justice who defended the principles of what our Constitution is supposed to be, even though he was Catholic. So that's why I say a point made in this book about Lincoln's assassination. At one point, the argument is made that the conflict is against the hierarchy of Rome, politically, not necessarily against Catholic people. I thought that was an interesting commentary from the book, but that the priesthood, the bishops, the cardinals, the pope, etc. Both the editor and the author of this work believe that they were all fully in support of the assassination of Lincoln. All right, now I want to read some of the first part of this book by General Harris and what he says. He says this. He says, quote, "The anti-Catholic agitation that is now so rife in the United States marks a crisis in our history. Hundreds of intelligent, patriotic, conscientious men are earnestly, laboriously, and courageously devoting themselves to this agitation. Newspapers have sprung up all over the country to give warning of danger and to arouse the spirit of American patriotism. Societies are being organized all over the land to protect and defend American institutions against the aggressions and encroachments of a foreign political power." You know, it almost sounds like he could have written this yesterday. But no, this is all the way back in the 19th century, brethren. Think about that, more than 100 years ago. "So against the aggressions and encroachments of a foreign political power that has gotten a lodgment," meaning gotten lodged, that's what he's saying, "in this land of liberty, and that is subsequently bent on the destruction of our free institutions and substituting for them the papal despotism, a despotism that lords it over the minds, the consciences, and the actions of its subjects, and thus renders them incapable of loyalty to any other government." Now, what's happening, brethren, if you've heard our audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation, Rome has cloaked herself in Marxism and socialism and in communism and manipulates these leftist ideas, mainly the Jesuits, but not them only. They manipulate these ideas as the weapon against Western civilization. And that is, so when he talks about here, he says the actions of its subjects and thus renders them incapable of loyalty to any other government than that of Rome, is what he's saying. But in reality, what's happening now through the 20th century is the brainwashing in our schools makes our young people loyal to the government of international communism and socialism. That's what they're loyal to. They're not loyal to the United States of America. They've been brainwashed to be loyal to Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. So they're not loyal to our country. They're not trained or taught or educated to be loyal to our country. They're being loyal to a completely foreign power. And really, when we say foreign power, we should really say globalism, which encompasses the Vatican. It also encompasses the ancient European powers. It encompasses the ancient Ottoman powers, now with Islam, that has joined hands with the Marxists in the 20th century. And they are all working together trying to subvert America. All right, so he goes on. I think this is pretty powerful, too. He says, quote, "What does it all mean? It is evident that a crisis is even now upon us, a crisis in which the world-old contest between freedom and despotism is to be definitely and finally settled. This is an old fight. The cause of liberty seemed to have achieved the victory when our forefathers achieved their independence through a successful revolution and founded our government on the principles for the first time formally announced in our Declaration of Independence, securing to our people the natural rights of man, freedom of the mind and conscience, freedom of worship, and freedom of speech and of action, and protection in the exercise of these rights." Now, he says, quote, "It is because of a conviction that our government is threatened by a wily and formidable foe, that the cause of human liberty is in danger, that we are in the midst of this anti-Catholic agitation. Is all this imaginary? Or is there a real danger hanging over us like a cloud? Is the Roman Catholic Church the friend or the foe of liberty? Is it a branch of the Church of Christ, in common with the various Protestant denominations, laboring in common with them for the establishment of Christ's kingdom on earth? If we answer this question in the light of history, in the light of present experience, in the light of the monstrous claims of the Pope, and in the light of the Spirit by which it is everywhere and always animated, and in the light of its present efforts in our country and in all lands, we must say that it does not, in any degree, bear the marks of a Church of Christ. It is, in fact, only a compact, well-organized, and powerful political machine wielded in the interest of the greatest despotism that has ever cursed the earth. He goes on, he says, quote, "It is a huge and dangerous political machine that has stolen the livery of heaven to enable it the more effectively to serve the devil, and the more easily to deceive and enslave mankind. But are our institutions in danger from this foe? Have we any cause for alarm? Is it necessary that we should sound the trumpet throughout the length and breadth of our land and muster the hosts of freedom for the conflict? Yes, my fellow countrymen, there is cause for alarm. There is real danger in the immediate situation." Wow, I mean, you know, as I'm reading this, this is the opening chapter of his book. It sounds like he could have written it a week ago. He could have written it a week ago, and these comments could pertain to what's happening in our country even today, even right now. Although, of course, we believe that the enemies of American freedom are not simply located in the Vatican. This is a vast network at this point that has spread itself abroad throughout the education system, our political system, the courts, etc. We are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. We are going to stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.